Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
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 Abba Yah, we thank you, Father, for the blessing of life, the blessing of health, and the blessing of strength. Father, we thank you for being merciful unto us, Father, and allowing us another day, Father. We thank you for giving this free gift, Father, that only you can give unto us, Father, that essence of you, Father, that keeps us alive. We thank you, secondly, Father, for your word, Father. We thank you for the word that you made manifest in the Torah as well as in the flesh, Father. We thank you for your son, Yahushua, Father. We thank you for the words that he gave us, Father. We thank you for his life, his precious life, Father, that he gave for us, Father, so that we can live, Father, and one day behold your greatness, Father. Father, we ask that your presence be here in this room amongst all of us, Father. We ask, Father, that you open our hearts, you open our minds, Father, that you till that soil, Father, so that we can be receptive to your word, O Yahweh. Father, thank you. Just thank you, Abba. Toda Rabba, Abba, because you are worthy. You alone, Father, to be praised, Father, and to be uplifted, Father. You alone, Father, are worthy, Father, of everything within our being, O Yahweh. And thank you, Abba, Toda, for preserving us. In Yahushua's name, Father, we give you thanks, honor, and glory. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Kol Shiva, family. How is everybody this morning? Told me, oh, everybody feeling very good? Well, that is indeed very good. I had a troubling week. I had some physical ailments, some emotional ailments, some spiritual ailments. Went through some rocky times this week, but Abba Yah is good. You know, through it all, you know, even coming up to this very morning, man, I have to give praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, my brother, for letting Yahweh use you last week and for the lesson that you brought forth last week, and because it was very touching, very moving. You know, the part that stood out the most to me last week was when you said, do the people pray for us?
Right.
You know, and that and it really stuck with me throughout this week, especially when you go through these struggles. I think sometimes it goes unnoticed. You know, and I was just talking to my sister about how hard it is being a leader. It's not easy, man, being a leader. When you look at the life of Moshe, I went over the life of Moshe this week.
Wow.
The people, I mean, Moshe was patient with the people for decades, because they spent 40 years in that wilderness. 2 score. 4 times 10. He was with these people day in and day out, had a heart for the people. And at the end of the day, they got to him to the point where Yahweh said, hey, man, speak to the rock. And when you look at the narrative, and go back and read the narrative, go back and really look at the life of Moshe and the love that Moshe had for the sons and daughters of Yisrael, to the point where he stood in between them and Yahweh. Because Yahweh was ready to off Yisrael many times. Many times. If you want to know how bad Yisrael was in that wilderness, look at Baltimore. Look at our little city. Because they ain't no different. They ain't no different. They ain't no different. He had to give them commandments because they were a lawless people at one point. He said himself, this is Yahweh's own word, they are a stiff-necked and hard-headed people. Those are Yahweh's words. Stiff-necked and hard-headed people. My children, the ones I gave birth to, the nation that I love beyond any other nation. I wanted to take, it's like, I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out. That's what Yahweh basically said to him. But Moshe, time and time again, oh, Yahweh, think about it. Pause for a second. Count to 10 backwards and breathe, Yahweh. Think about what the nations will say about you, that these people were so rough that you couldn't deal with them. Huh? Let that, think about that for a second. That's our foreparents who we take pride in. Those are our answers. We, they see. So how are we any different? How are we any different? How are we striving to be different than that? Sometimes it gets overwhelming. I always tell people, so one of you, you know, I had to go into work last night for a situation. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, some people that they, you know, they were suggesting to come into the department. And I said, I said, oh, y'all co-sign on this person. How you sign off, you sign off, you sign off. I said, okay. So what that person is showing you is different from what I see when I observe this person. You're telling me that they're going to come in and be a model employee, even though when I see, because I tell people all the time, I see, but I don't always say. I learned that from Gershom Mendez. Observe. But when it's time, hold your tongue until it's time to speak, then you speak. So they bring in this person to me. I'm like, all right, okay, y'all all co-sign. All right, y'all sign off on this person. So when this person comes in now, and then I got to go through being a manager and all that type of stuff, where y'all going to be at? Where y'all gonna be? I'm like, why do everybody want to come to this department? I said, oh, y'all always talk about how poor the management is. Well, it ain't just years, others, da da da. It don't matter. Y'all always talk about how poor we manage y'all. Okay, but anybody want to come here? Well, that's because they see us walking around. They think the job is easy. And I said, is the job easy? No, it ain't easy. It ain't easy pushing these patients all around the hospital, da 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 da. So just because it look easy, it ain't easy, right? Just because sometimes brothers come up here and do this work and it may seem like it's easy, it ain't. It takes toil and sacrifice. And sometimes when you go through these sparring sessions with folks and you wonder why you're going through these sparring sessions, it's like, well, ain't nobody coming up here. One, honestly, that wants to bring harm to anyone within the congregation. And I hope everybody within the listening audience and within the seats in here that give ear to all of this would ever think that anyone comes up here with the intent to lie and deceive, knowing that there's a sign I pass every week. And I love to see that little message. I know it's from Christian, but he said, at some point you won't die and you will see God. We deal with that. Us. The ones who toil and teach, it ain't easy. It's not easy. It's heart-wrenching sometimes. And I'm not the leader. I just sit in sometimes and hope that what Abba gave me is good enough to give to everybody else, and it's satisfying for their soul. But it's not easy. It's not. And truth of the matter is, and I'm going to give a confession, sure, I had a whole lesson planned out today, but then Shabba L sat in for a brother who wasn't feeling well, and Shabba L dropped some signs last night that made me have to rethink and retool, and Yahweh brought me to my knees thinking about what Yahushua went through and this season. And we are talking about this conspiracy against our salvation because we in the midst of the season that totally exemplifies the conspiracy against the world's salvation, let alone our salvation. I watched a report the other day, and they're going around talking to little children about, you know, oh, what are you looking forward to? What are you doing? And what about this? And what about this? And I'm not saying certain things because we got little children in here, and I don't want to plant that seed in their mind about that stuff that goes on around this season. But everybody's caught up in this man, this man, this man. And even though, yes, it's a false name, a false deity, and a false, everything is false around this season, he ain't the reason for the season anymore in the world. He is not the reason for the season anymore. It's all about facto. And people pump that more than anything else. That is more important. That is more important. But Abba and using Shabba El last night, Shalom, Abba and using Shabba El last night said, you know what? Go through the narrative. Talk about everything that they're trying to jack you from this season. Because, you know, I watch my children struggle with it. Sometimes I struggle with it, and all this stuff that they pump at you and throw at you, and that spirit sometimes gets overwhelming and wears you down. But it takes somebody, a brother, in the Word to sometimes help give you the strength through Yahweh in order to get your momentum back. So my brother taught his lesson last night. One of the things that he talked about, you know, was this season. And it's no coincidence that, you know, and I don't know if this is necessarily the real, quote-unquote, Hanukkah time, because I'm not the timekeeper, so I really haven't been keeping up on it after the holy days went out. But, you know, we know that, as my brother said last night, this is supposed to be Hanukkah Eve. But even those who are keeping an alternative, they're keeping it for the wrong reason. And they're keeping it thinking that they're doing something. And the crazy part about it is they deny those books, but yet there's no other testimony that captures what took place during the quote-unquote Hanukkah ritual that they commemorate every year outside of the book of Maccabees, which they deny. So how confusing is that? So y'all deny this whole powerful message and testimony that our forefathers went through, and y'all jack that one little symbol and make it all about blue and silver bowls and gifts and stuff as an alternative to the Exodus season, which is all based on lies and paganism and a whole bunch of, as my brother said last night, taking a little bit of the truth of the Word and just going all over the place with it. But I'm digressing. Forgive me. I'm a little backed up from last weekend and not being here. And I really wanted to talk about something entirely different, but Abba said, you know what? Let's talk about this narrative. Let's talk about what took place during this season. I don't know, we went through it at one point before. I don't even know what I'm looking for down here. I know we went through it at one point before, but let's read it again, because we're in the midst of the season. I don't think we're in the midst of it for nothing. But we're going to start, and I'm going to start off with this. My favorite scripture in the testimonies of our Lord and Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from the Mighty One, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm reading from St. John. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do we understand who we are? Do we understand? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Not talking about us, talking about them at that time. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moshe, but grace and truth came by Yahushua HaMashiach. No man hath seen the Mighty One, God, at any time. The only begotten Son, which is of the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. All right. Now, we're going to talk about the narrative of his coming into the world.
Right.
Since the world wants to big it up so much, well, not anymore, because they're talking about, again, the man in the red suit. We got any water? Can I get one? So we're going to start in Lucas. And you know, I went, sent some text to my fellow, can I call you nerd brother? My fellow nerd brother, my sci-fi brother. You know. Oh, it's already open. Toda Aki. Yeah, and, you know, just going through certain things in the Star Wars saga and seeing just the little subtle messages that I feel that Abba put in there for his sons and daughters. Not this new stuff that they, to me, this was just a Hollywood grab, but that original stuff and, you know, some of the backstory behind it, it really has a beautiful message. And even the fact that the ones of the light, the good guys, are called Jedi. That's a Hebrew term. Yedi, meaning my beloved. Why this guy uses, I really wish I could sit down with George Lucas and talk about why he named the people that he named. You know, even Darth Vader, you know, his name means the Dark Lord, the father of the Dark Lord. So why did he name these people this? Why is this guy called Skywalker of all things? You know what I'm saying? And like I said, this is just a geek in me. I'm telling you, at 6 years old, my daddy took me to see that movie, and my Abba let my daddy to take me to see that movie. It changed my life as a little kid. Nine, at that time, I was looking at all this world stuff and everything, and just now seeing that seed was planted in my mind, so I could really understand the struggle that we fight against, because at the end of the day, it's about the battle against those who are evil versus those who are good, and the fact that they were trying to destroy the chosen one out of it. And granted, it comes from the scriptures. Yes, it does. And we're going to see that today. You know, but sometimes, and I believe he says this in the first Romans, where he says, because humanity misses the mark in the word, misses the narrative that Yahweh's trying to give them through the word, that sometimes he gives them these things so that maybe in their mind they could understand what he's trying to do. But anyway, we're going to Lucas, St. Luke, and the name Lucas means light, luminous. That's what it means in Greek. And I said, okay. But look at how he starts his book off. And All right. So we're going now to Luke 1:1. Okay. And I like how he starts his book off. And, you know, they give us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but actually they should be in a different order when you think about what they're telling, how they're telling it, and the purpose for which they're telling it. So Luke 1:1 starts off with, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." And when you look at that term Theophilus, and the book of Acts starts off with somebody, Theophilus is not a person. The way they write it, you would think that Theophilus is a person. The term Theophilus, Theo, Philus, Theo, God, Philus, love, God lovers. So he's writing this. He wrote this book and he wrote the Acts addressing Theophilus because he's talking to the God. It's almost like I'm a Marvel Comics fan, and when Stan Lee used to say true believers, and as a kid I'm sitting there eating my Captain Crunch saying, yeah, I'm a true believer. I believe in Wolverine. I believe in Cyclops. I believe in all these people that you made up. But he's saying the same thing here. You know, I'm writing unto you in the order, the perfection and the understanding in all his getting. He got understanding about why these things and why he recorded specific events, and the other apostles recorded specific events, because truth be told, these are the most important things that Yahweh wants us to know. He don't care about us knowing about everything up there. That's his realm. He wants us to know and understand this with a perfect understanding. Because why then would he have not started off his book with some more mystical stuff? He left that to John because that's what was given to John to understand. But now let's get into some of this stuff because this stuff is important. All right, back to Luke 1:5. "There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. And what does Zechariah mean? Zechariah means what? Remember. Okay. Of the course of Abia. Abia? What is Abia? My father is Yah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aharon. What does Aharon mean? Lightbringer. And her name was, she's not here today, Elisheba, Elizabeth. And what is that? My God is my oath. Luke 1:6. "And they were both righteous before the mighty one, before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of their master blameless. And they had no child because that..." Elisheba, Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before Yahweh in the order of his course," and remember, these courses were the courses that were set up by King David in his time, which I think you just went through not too long ago. Somebody went through it. Luke 1:9, "according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of Yahweh. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of Yahweh standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fearful upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." So when we see John, Saint John, illustrating what he illustrated. They understood these things when they got together. After the passing of the Messiah, it's like all of this understanding about who he was just overwhelmed their mind, and they now really had to write it down. They had to record it for people later on, like you and I, to have the full understanding of who they were. Okay. Luke 1:17, and notice what it says. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Luke 1:16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to Yahweh their Elohim. So what does that mean? If he has to turn them to Yahweh, what state are the people in? They're turned away from Yahweh. Their backs are facing him. They're going in the opposite direction of Yahweh. Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of my God is Yah, Eliyah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh.
Amen.
What are we trying to do? First, prepare ourselves, make ourselves a people prepared for Yahweh, but in turn, by doing so, hopefully, have others do the same. Luke 1:18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Sounds familiar? And the angel answered, saying unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of Yahweh, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath Yahweh dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Yahweh unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Yahusha?
Yah-ex.
Okay. Of the house of David. What does David mean? Beloved. The virgin's name was Miriam. What does Miriam mean?
Rebellious.
And the angel came unto her, 1:28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. Yahweh is with thee. Blessed are thee among women. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Yahweh. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yahushua, which means Yahweh is salvation. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. I'm going to go back and read that. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. And Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Ben Yahweh. the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with Yahweh nothing shall be impossible. See, and I like the fact that that was put in there, because in their mind, the world's mind, see, this is some cartoon comic book stuff. You know, this is impossible for something like this to take place. But it's so funny that he said this to her back then, knowing that ain't nobody going to believe this. And as a matter of fact, they're going to be so troubled by it that they're going to conspire to hide the fact and bring doubt in everything about it. And we're going to see this. 138, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of Yahweh, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Any questions so far? All right, so we're going to go to the second part of this narrative. So we're going to kind of interpolate. We're going to go in between the two so that, you know, to see where they all kind of fit in. So the next part we're going to is Brother Matthew, okay? And again, we're going to tell the story, and we're going to read the whole story for what all of it says, not what they want to pump us at this time of the year. Because, one, they don't talk about John, and John is very important. Why do they not talk about John at this season? Because if you talk about John, you got to talk about John's ministry. And what is John's ministry? He's coming in the spirit and the power of Eliah. So in order to talk about John, you've got to talk about the fact that he is promoting Yahweh, the God that this world has forgotten about, the God that this world has buried, the God that they've conspired to make sure that nobody knows that he exists. And when you find out that he exists, you will constantly be, as was told us a couple years ago, in Mitch Ryan. And what does Mitch Ryan mean? Double straight. So you have one side, you have people attacking you on the right, you have people attacking you on the left, and that's what we're going through. When you think about, see, the double straight is you're going to come under spiritual attack, and you're also going to come under physical attack.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And physical attack doesn't just mean that they're going to attack you physically, even though they will, but the heartache and the pain that you go through living in this world, that's a physical attack. Your emotions affect your physical well-being.
Amen.
Your emotions have more effect on your physical well-being than any diet will. And that is a scientific fact.
Amen.
You could be the healthiest person. You could do everything perfectly for your body. But if your mind is jacked up, does you no good.
Amen.
But on the other hand, you may not necessarily do the best thing for your body. But if your mind and your spirit is healthy and you don't carry a whole lot of stress, because my brother right here, do you have high blood pressure? High blood pressure got a lot of this in here. But they always say high blood pressure is associated with obesity. My brother right here is slim and trim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to put your medical business out there. Forgive me. Right? How's your cholesterol? But my brother manages his stress load, whereas, I'm plump. Okay? I'm a plump brother. But in order to manage my blood pressure, because I got so much going on in my mind and my body that's affecting me physically, I got to be on medication to help mitigate this blood pressure. And I messed around and was off for a couple of days. And when I say my head was in a fog, not being on that medication. And it wasn't by choice. I ran out. And it just took me time to get up to CVS to get it filled. You know? But my mind was in a fog being off that blood pressure medication. But anyway, I digress. You know? But one of the reasons that they don't talk about John is because if you talk about John, you got to talk about his ministry, and his ministry is one of truth. It's one of when talk about if You talk about Yahushua coming to, not to bring peace, but a sword. John, before Yahushua came on the scene, bringing a sword, John was bringing a sword. People didn't like John. John was an outcast. John was seen as a crazy man. You think about in this day and age, a man walking around with some skin around him. Even back then, they had linen. They had cotton. They had all these fine things to put on your body. Probably better than anybody in this day and age can produce. But that man, he put on linen. He didn't put on linen. They said he had all animal skins around him. Huh? That drew some attention because it wasn't what everybody was doing. And then on top of that, guess what his diet was? Locusts and honey. Huh? Sad. So he drew some attention because he wasn't hanging out at the bars. Remember what the scripture say about John? He said Yahushua came eating and drinking. Y'all said he had a spirit, but John, he ain't drink nothing. And the thing about it is John is older than Yahushua. Hmm? So see, look at the dire straits. Look at the double straights. Either way, you darn if you do. If I sip a little something and somebody see me, hey, man, you ain't supposed to be sipping. If I don't sip something among a group of people I'm hanging with, come on, man, you a nerd. Come on, man. You mean your religion don't allow you to drink? I know your religion allows you to sip something. Come on, man. I just don't want to sip with y'all because I'm trying to keep my mind and my spirit straight. Because I know how I get when I sip a little. And my brothers do too. You know, I'm not bad, but, you know. I don't want to be subject to them spirits that's around me. I like to drink around my brethren that I know the spirit of Yahweh is amongst them. That's right. And it's not against the Torah to drink. So anyway, back to Matthew. Matter of fact, Yahweh said when he bless you with something, he said he expects you to make some strong drink. That's in the Torah.
Amen.
Okay. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generations of Yahushua HaMashiach, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I love how that started off because later on, when he had to deal with them and say, if you were of your father Abraham, you would know who I am. Hmm? So 1:2, Abraham begat Isaac. Wait a minute. Man. No, I'm not going into that, all of that stuff. So 1 through 18 goes through his genealogy. But now I really want to deal specifically with his birth. So I apologize for that, fam. We starting at 1:18. My apologies for that. 1:18. But Abba maybe wanted that part mentioned. Now, the birth of Yahushua was on these wise. When his mother, Miriam, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Ruach HaKodesh. So now he confirmed it with her, and now he's confirming it with him, just so he covers both sides, because we can see that was troubling to him. Because in his mind, wait a minute, she's supposed to be my wife. We ain't did nothing. How is it now she's going through the motions of a woman that is expecting? So, but him not being the type to say now, like how in this day and age, everything got to be on YouTube and Facebook and all this type of stuff. He said, no, you know what? I'm going to end this thing quietly. So then that way, you know, this doesn't bring shame to this sister. But at the same time, just imagine being in that situation. It was troubling to him. You know, it bothered him. 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded, because what would have been the penalty for her, according to the Torah? Death. She would have been stoned. You know, she would have been stoned. So he didn't want that to happen to her. How many people in this day and age would have that level of love for somebody if that happened to them? 1:20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. For all this, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of, Yahweh by the prophet saying, the Lord being the Messiah, the prophet saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that is a prophecy, I believe, in the book of Isaiah 121. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yahweh had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yahushua. So what do we see that Joseph did in this situation? Thank you. He obeyed. Simply put, he obeyed. And imagine, think about the narrative right there now, and what he's experiencing. How difficult do you think was it for him to obey what came to him in a dream? Knowing what he knows, or seeing what he's seen, and understanding, wow, man, you know, her belly's swelling. We ain't did nothing yet. You know, her belly's swelling and we ain't did nothing yet. But he willed himself as a man to say, you know what? Not my will, but thy will be done, O Yahweh. Any questions so far? Did you have a hand up, Aki? All right, we're going back to Lucas now. We're going to Lucas 1 again, and we're going to pick up at 39. All right, so just wanted to illustrate what so far what's happened with Sister Mary, Brother Zachariah, Sister Elizabeth, and what the angel has spoken to them, and now what the angel has spoken to Sister Mary, and now what the angel has spoken to Yahweh. And, you know, Yahweh is revealing to all of them his will. He's telling them at this point, I'm interceding in your life right now because I've got stuff for y'all to do. And that was bring these children into this world. All right, so let's go back to Luke 1, chapter 1. We're going to pick up at 39, Sammy. And this is so, you know, if anybody wants to go through the narrative at this time of the year with people who, you know, you may get into some discussions about, and they want to, you know, talk about this, that, and the third, you know, hopefully this will help show them, hey, look, there's some details in here that you're missing. There's some things in here about this narrative that you're missing. My brother talked about the nativity scene. You don't even see that no more. People ain't even worried about the nativity scene no more. As a matter of fact, it's so funny to see a Christmas dragon sitting on people's lawns. And then went from the nativity scene. My neighbors across the street got the whatchamacallit, what's the thing called? The double thing from the minion. They done got the Christmas minion out there, you know. But ain't nothing. They got the candy canes, but ain't nothing about the little baby. Nothing about sweet, poor little sweet baby, you know who. Ain't nothing about him out there. They got everything else, and I done been all up and down my block and watching the people decorating their stuff. Go around, seriously, and for the next couple of days and count how many times you actually see the nativity scene anymore. You won't. Because guess what? He revealing what this is still really all about. They got the quote-unquote nightmare before Xmas. Really? Really? And now they got a Christmas dragon sitting on the lawn? Message? 139. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, now the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. After that baby did that, boom, inside of her now, it came on her too. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. Now the Catholics done jacked that. You know, if you went to Catholic school, you know they got a whole narrative surrounding this. But exclude everything else that goes along with it, that tells the truth behind, tells the whole story. 143. And whence is this to be, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Do you hear what Elizabeth is asking her now? And when is it she's asking? She realizes now the Holy Spirit comes over her after John the Baptist jumped in her womb when he felt the energy and the presence of the mother of his Lord coming in. That the mother now had to say, oh, she recognized the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to her. The Spirit of the Almighty revealed that to her. Because now, hold on, my baby don't move that much. But this boy done did a backflip inside of me. What you got inside of you, little cousin? Because that's her baby cousin. Miriam is well old. She is a very old woman at that point. And to see her little baby cousin come to see her now, and for this happening inside of her, she knew this was divine. And whence is this to be that the mother of my Lord, meaning Yahushua HaMashiach, should come to me? 144, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Mighty One, from Yahweh. 146. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify Yahweh, and my spirit hath rejoiced in Elohim, my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode in her house with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how Yahweh had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John, Yahuchanan. And what does Yahuchanan mean? God is gracious. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised Yahweh. Any questions so far? Any thoughts? All right. Now we're going to skip ahead to Luke, the second chapter. Because again, you know, they tell this story, but they make sure that they tell it for Hollywood purposes and not for the purpose of bringing out truth. Right. They know that the story makes money, you know, so they do that, you know, but they don't tell the truth behind it. But the truth of it is in Yahweh's word.
Right.
And for us, it is important that we understand all the surroundings of this, because they took the story, but it's now time for us to start taking back territory, especially at this time of the year, and to tell people and tell them, you know, like my brother was saying, you know, they come and they say to him, you know, happy holidays or Merry Xmas or whatever. He goes back, you know, with them a happy Hanukkah, and you know, and drop some stuff on them. So then that way, hopefully, those that seed will fall on some good ground. Back to Luke 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out the decree from Caesar Augustus. And the thing about it is, you know, they can't hide the fact that, you know, these people existed. You know, I think, you know, after we pass on, and let's say, you know, they still got blog, talk radio and all this type of stuff, and people can go back and listen to some of these lessons, you know, later on after some of us have gone on. And the fact that there are certain things that are mentioned about the city that we live in, the people that, and the time that, the times that we are experiencing, they, you know, that they have a record of, hey, well, these guys, it wasn't just, you know, some people who are some actors out there. You know, these are real people, you know, and that's why they include real people, because history cannot deny that Augustus Caesar existed, and they cannot deny historically that the Romans taxed people, and they can't deny, even based in this country, that we modeled our taxation season after the same season that they do. When is tax time in America? You bet. Tax time? Yeah. When we got to pay our taxes? Oh, around what time of the year? Around what time of the year? Abib. So you mean they tax then as they do now at the beginning of the year? Why does it make sense to tax at the beginning of the year? Well, if you're running an organization and you want to bring in all your revenue and all your money, you want to start your year off knowing how much you got to spend. Right or wrong? Right? You was a bookkeeper. You was a businessman. Right? You want to start the year off right. How much money I got to spend? How much am I going to be able to put in my pocket? And take care of all the things, because at that time it was a big city. They had public works, they had senators and public officials that all had to be paid. They had a military that had to be paid. So this military that now has occupied Judea and all the lands of our foreparents, guess what? They had to pay tribute to them. So back to 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Ain't that right? How are taxes divvied up nowadays? If you live in Baltimore City, you pay city tax. Do you not? If you live in Baltimore County, you pay county tax. Do you not? If you live in Anne Arundel, you pay Anne Arundel County tax. Do you not? If you live in the state of Maryland, you pay state of Maryland taxes. Do you not? Okay. Everybody got to fill out that 503B, don't we? You better, because you definitely don't want Peter Francho getting in your pockets, because the CCU is real. I know. I tried to dodge them one time. But the Central Collection Unit of the state of Maryland, if you owe them, they come in and get you, and they send you a nice letter and tell you, we come to get your pockets real soon. And when they do, they ain't going to get out your pockets until they got every last penny. And sometimes they take more and then send you back the rest. I know. I've been in Maryland Central Collections Units before. So anyway, telling a little bit too much. 2:4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of Bethlehem. So he had to go home to pay these taxes. He couldn't mail his taxes in. He couldn't send a messenger. He couldn't send a FedEx, UPS, none of that. He had to go personally to pay these taxes. Luke 2:5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So now we see this is later on in time. It's a little bit of months down the line. So at this point, we see in a couple of chapters, we went through about 9 to 10 months of living. But these are the most important events that took place in that time. Luke 2:6. And so it was, out of 2:5, she went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So guess what happened while they went to go pay these taxes? Water them broke. Water broke. She in birth pains. Baby coming. Y'all always say, the baby, it's time to come. At what time of the year? Let's not forget this. At what time of the year? At what time of the year? At a bee. Around a bee. You can't forget that. Not around Kislev. Not around the ninth month. This is around the beginning of the year. And unfortunately, the scriptures don't really go into those details. But if you really want to know and you don't trust, don't take my word for it. Go back and look at ancient Roman taxation practices and see what time of the year they collected taxes. So just to verify this information, it wasn't, yes, sir.
Another thing, tell me the time of the year that the war started.
What time of the year that the war started? Yeah. All right, Aki.
Because at the beginning of the year, see, that's why you have the term Mars or March. This is the time at the beginning of the year. This is when they, that's why Mars is the god of war. This is the time of the year where the war started. Whenever they went to conquer a land, you want to do it when the ground is nice, the weather is nice. You don't want to fight in the cold.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Build,
brother.
Hallelujah. Well, another thing about this time of the year, this is the time of one of the first pilgrimage feasts.
Hallelujah.
Because they all gather around that time for Har Hamato or unleavened bread. So a lot of the, it would give explanation as to why every place was full, because people getting ready for the feast getting ready coming in the spring.
Hallelujah. Because you know what? Guess what they go into? And we was going to talk about that, go into later on, right after this, because I believe Mark focuses on the fact that when they came into, because he starts off as Yahushua's older. And they start off around the time of the feast, the Jews' feast of Passover. Hallelujah. So now it all, so now we see rebuilding all that old narrative, that the fact that now he got there a little late, because I'm quite sure in his mind, my wife is expecting, well, not even so much in his mind, but his circumstances, you can't make her move no faster than she want to move. You're not going to make that sister move no faster than she want to move. She got to take her time. He might be in a hurry, but guess what? She ain't doing it, especially at that late in her time. Okay, hallelujah. So, all right, 2:6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay. Picking up on 2:8, family. Sorry about that. Had to look up my notes. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of Yahweh came upon them, and the glory of Yahweh shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah of Yahweh. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Why of all people get shepherds? Why of all people get shepherds? He could have got any other people. He could have got priests. Why he didn't get priests? Why didn't he get, but why shepherds? Why the first thing we hear being revealed to people other than the mother and the father and close relatives were these shepherds? 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing hallelujah, praising Yahweh, and saying, glory to Yahweh in the highest, and on earth shalom, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which Yahweh hath made known to us. See, flesh and blood have not revealed that to you. You see what I'm saying? Even for these shepherds, Who came to them? It wasn't something that came out of their mind. Oh, we just going to go down to Bethlehem. Yo, it had to be revealed to them. Revelation. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they had heard, and all they that heard, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So now the shepherds are the first ones going out there and doing what? Bringing forth this announcement that salvation, which was promised to Israel, has come into the world. That's what they're doing. Yahushua was born. We saw him. The angels came and told us Yahushua was born. The salvation of Yah, it finally came here, y'all. What we have been taught, what our forefathers have been taught, is finally here. That's what they're going around telling the people. They're the first ones preaching the quote-unquote good news. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that had heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising Yahweh for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Yahushua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Okay? So, yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. So based on these two passages that we just read, with Zechariah, with Zechariah and John, and with Yahushua, are we supposed to name the child on the 8th day? Because both of their names, this is when they were, quote unquote, officially named on the day of the circumcision.
Right. That's what we see in our tradition. Our forefathers' tradition.
That's when the name is normally given to a Hebrew child.
Amen.
You know, Hebrew boy specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they do it, because in our system, because they're born, most of them are born in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
you have to have all of that in place before you leave the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not made official, so to speak, until the circumcision when you have a male child.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's right.
Amen. Anything else?
No, sir.
Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Any questions? Any thoughts? All right. So now we're seeing all the circumstances, or part of the circumstances surrounding the birth of our Lord and Savior. So now we're going to see, you know, like how in the shows it goes dun, 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 dun. Now we're going to see now where the conspiracy starts to arise. Okay? So we're going to Matthew 2:1. Now, when Yahushua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, we see King Herod is a historical figure as well. History cannot deny Herod. Herod is somebody who our Jewish counterparts know existed. They talk about him in the Talmud. They talk, Josephus talks about. So he is another historical figure that the world knows existed. Okay? 2:2. Saying, where is he that my brother talked about this other night? And this is what really sparked me, because when he was talking about this part last night, he's talking about how they had to come to the leadership of the city to pay tribute to them before they, you know, you can't just walk in somebody's city and start, you know, saying a whole bunch of stuff. They actually went to King Herod because that was apparently the protocol. But this is what really sparked the thought in my mind. Let me read into this a little bit. Back to 2:1. Now, when Yahushua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, quick question. What is east of Jerusalem? Do we know what's east of Jerusalem? What is it, Aki? Yeah. At that time. Turkey, what up? Persia. I'm Persia before Persia was Persia, what was Persia? Yeah. What that region was. Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees. See what I'm saying? So they were astrologers. Now think about our father Abraham and what was told to Abraham by those that visited him. If you could number the stars, you could have counted your seed. You see what I'm saying? So this was something they were still practicing east of Jerusalem. This was still something that was part of it because these weren't Jews. These weren't Hebrews. These were men traveling from the east. But they were astrologers. They were planet observers. They were sky observers. They were up there looking for this stuff. All right, let's look a little more, right? So, Tutu saying, where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. What kind of star did they see that automatically stood out in their mind to say somebody came along that should be worshipped? And why did they feel the need to make this travel to worship him? What did they know? What was given to them? What did they know? What did the world know at that time? What did certain people in the world know at that time? When you think about it now. So, 2:3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Wait a minute, you king of Jerusalem. You king of the Jews. What are you troubled about this for? You're supposed to be hoping for the same thing all Israel was hoping for. But what do we learn that took place in the Maccabees that happened to our forefathers? See, people started to buy the leadership, right or wrong. And Herod was of the lineage of those people who bought the leadership, right or wrong. And he was a corrupt leader, right or wrong. Okay, so why would you be troubled? This is something that all the people that, this was Israel's hope. It's funny that we're singing some songs today out of Israel's hope. This was Israel's hope. Why, Herod, are you troubled by this? 2:3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. What? They were troubled by the fact that these men came and said that they saw a great sign, and this great sign was told to them to be the true leader of those who praise Yah. But this is troubling to these people? Okay, 2:4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he demanded of them where Mashiach should be born. Think about what he's doing now. Y'all need to find this. This is going to cause problems for us. Chief priests, scribes, what are y'all doing? Get in the book. Get your head in the book. Find out where he's supposed to be born. Because there's about to be problems in Jerusalem, problems that we don't want. Think about it. Think about it. He's realizing this order is about to be upset. So think about our lives. Why is the number one killer of young black men from 1960s on down abortion? Why is there a Planned Parenthood, which I love some of these comedians. Planned Parenthood is an oxymoron because it's for people who didn't Planned Parenthood. It's a place to kill it. But people go to Planned Parenthood all the time to not become a parent. It's not a counseling center. It's a center for birth control and destruction of infant child, in which black boys are the number one murderers that are getting murdered in these clinics. Why? Think about the circumstances that have taken place in our lives, brothers, in this room. We're not supposed to be here. Statistically, if they can't catch it before it is in utero, they figure a bullet can catch us on the street. You think that's for nothing? 300 some odd murders and counting in this city. And I can tell you from where I work, and I got two brothers that can attest to it, most of them that come through them doors is black males. So they figure, if I can't get you before your mother bring you into this world, I'm going to put you in these circumstances where something's going to get you. And when you think about our love, I'm quite sure the doctor told my mother to abort me because she had fibroids and I wouldn't live. But almost 49 years later, hallelujah, I'm here. And I'm quite sure all y'all lives at some point, something, my brother shared a testimony about him, right or wrong. You at some point was not feeling this. Right? Can I share that? You had shared with me at one point, you know, and you was raised in the faith, right? And at one point, you know, you kind of wanted to do your own thing. Remember sharing that with me? And at some point, Yahweh touched your life and said, "Mom, no. Let me get back on track." Right or wrong? But that's that world pulling at you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So if he doesn't get us physically, he's going to get us spiritually. So what we learn in Ezra, on one side, you're walking down this narrow path. Only one person can go through. On one side, it's water that you never survive. On the other side, it's fire so that you'll burn before you even. That's the spirit and the world pulling at you. So if spiritually something doesn't get you, you don't drown in spiritual darkness, because that's what the depths of the sea represent, spiritual darkness. Then the world and its passion and its desires and its lust and all these things that pull at you. I remember a brother telling me about a dream where the world was telling him, "Come on. Come on,
right.
Come on, come on." And eventually he left the faith. So that you burn up in the passion and the desire and the fire of this world. Think about it. Yahweh is the only one that got his hedge around us in here.
Right.
And sisters, I'm telling you, y'all don't know what it's like to be. Don't know what it's like. And I have to tell my wife that. You don't know what it's like to be a black boy. Sure, you his mother. But you as a black girl, you don't know what it's like to be a black boy in this world, in this system, and all the little things that we don't share that's in our heart, the things that we go through, the hurt, the pain of just living sometimes and feeling worth less than any other person on this planet. Huh? But anyway, I'm digressing. I'm getting personal. 2:4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Mashiach should be born, where the anointed one should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." So you mean to tell me they know the prophecy? They know the word. It says that Satan knows the word and he trembles. He knows it and he trembles. He knows the word. They know the prophecy. They know what it is. He said, "Why do the heathen rage and they imagine a vain thing?" Because they conspire against the Holy One and his children. So that means they got to be studying the word. They got to know this word. Where are all these ancient archives of the scriptures held? We ain't got them. The common people ain't got them. It's the powers that be that got them. Why they got them? Why does the Vatican of all places have the world's most scientifically advanced astrological tools? What y'all need to know for? Because they looking into them stars and seeing when all these little lights come about. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You think they doing that for nothing? You think they doing that for nothing? Two five. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So now, He go. The wise men are still around. Now, I don't know how much time took place in between this, but he's got the scribes and the priests together, the false ones that we learned about that took over the Maccabees, that bought into the office, but they still were knowledgeable enough. And you think, why are they going to yeshiva and all this type of stuff? What y'all saying yeshiva? Because y'all not keeping the truth. Y'all not finding out the truth in these yeshivas. So what y'all doing in these yeshivas? You see what I'm saying? So now he goes to them. Now the wise men are still guests in his court. So he's going back to them. Okay, we done found the location. Now all we need to know is find about what. Hey, wise man, let me holler at you real quick. Thank you for letting us know the great sight that you have seen. Boy, you can't hold to wait to behold this sight with me. Could you tell me about what time you saw this great sight? Not telling them what his intention, because it says privily. It means he's secretly, he's conspiring, he's holding in his heart what he really wants to do, because he's trying to do something now, and we're going to see. 2:7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You want to come and worship him when you're troubled by the fact that he was born? Okay. Two nine. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of Yahweh in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country. Another way. That means they put in Google Maps. You know, it puts up three different routes. We gonna go the law way. We even gonna pay these tolls. Hallelujah. Huh? All right. 2:13. And when they departed, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You see, you can conspire all you want, but this should bring faith to us, to know that Yahweh got us. Just like he got his son, he got us. He's going to put people in certain places, because Yahweh led those wise men that weren't of Jerusalem. And Yahweh, when he wants to, he can give you a message if you listen to it and take heed to it. So now Yahweh's making sure. Let me tell you, boy, Yahweh is the master chessman. You ain't going to outplay Yahweh, Satan. You're not going to outplay the mighty one. Back to 2:13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And they departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Yahweh by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was their voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her child, and will not be comforted because they are not. Any questions, any thoughts so far? Just one couple more verses left, Sam. But do we see now? I mean, do we see what has taken place? Do we see that from the time Yahushua came on the scene, that before he even came into full power, while he was still an infant, we've got people that are trying to destroy him. So just imagine now, thousands of years later, they've changed the name, they've changed the narrative, they have changed everything about him. And for what purpose? Because the truth of the matter is, let's be real about it. What we know, what do we know about the name Jesus, family? Why don't we use the name Jesus? Right. But beyond that, you know, let's go back to our infant days in the faith and coming in and learning this. Well, one of the things we learned back when I first coming in the faith, and the letter J wasn't created until, 1490-something, right? So the question was always, what was he called before that, right? Or wrong? That's what we used to ask. What was he called before that? You see what I'm saying? So now, but now you live in this information age. Back then, we used to have to go down to Enoch Pratt Library and take out books. Or there was one section that we went to where you couldn't take out the books. You had to go in there and get permission, and they would bring these books out to you, and we would sit there, and we would, you know, be scribes and take down our notes to get all this stuff so we could go back and bring this information to people when he's making tracks and all this sort of stuff. Now all you got to do is put in Google, when was the letter J created? Google, is Jesus the real name of the Messiah? Google, what does the name Yahushua mean? And Google will give you all this information, and it will tell you the truth. So guess what? In this information age, the truth is literally at your fingertips. How many people, in the midst of sending their 200-and-something characters on Twitter, actually use those characters to do a search and say, how do I prepare myself for when I die? Truthfully, not by going to some church or not by going, what do I need to do to prepare myself for when I pass on? How many people, in the midst of all the different characters and posts and all the types of stuff that they put out there, actually search out this information? But at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. All right. Now we're going back to Luke, family. And when the days of her purification of the Torah of Moses were accomplished, they brought him. Yes, Aki. Oh, Luke, second chapter, 22nd verse, Aki. Sorry about that. Lord, it's hot in here. So in the days of her purification, according to the Torah of Moses, were accomplished. So what, before he was even born, his parents were doing what? Mom. Keeping the Torah of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to who? Yahweh. As it is written in the Torah of Moshe, of Torah of Yahweh, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto Yahweh. So we see he is the firstborn, right? And she's doing everything that she had learned to do as a child to do right before Yahweh and having her first child. 2:24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the Torah of Yahweh, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. Who is doing this? Miriam was doing this because that's what the woman was supposed to do. Beyond what the husband does, the woman was supposed to do certain things too after the time of her purification. For a son, what is the time of purification? 40. 40, right? And if it's a girl, it's 80. So she had a son. So this is 40 days. So they're letting you know, circumcision, 8 days, they still hanging out in Jerusalem. This is beyond the entire time of the feast. So they was in Jerusalem for a minute. So as it is written in 2:23, as it is written in the Torah of Yahweh, every man that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto Yahweh, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yahweh, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And what does Simeon mean? Heard. Listening. He was a listener. He heard some things. why don't you talk about this? And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Ruach HaKodesh was upon the Holy Spirit. It was busy them days. 2:26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Yahweh's anointed one. Until he had seen the Moshiach, Yahweh told him, I'm going to let you live, Simeon, since you've been so obedient, since you've listened, since you've heard well, you ain't going to see death until my anointed, my chosen, my Messiah has come into the world. 2:27, and he came by the Spirit. See, flesh and blood didn't lead him to the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Yahushua, to do for him after the custom of the Torah, then took he him up in arms and said, Baruch Atah Yahweh. Yahweh, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He ain't even do the work yet. He's just holding a baby that's just 40 years old. But the Spirit led him to understand that this was his salvation that came in the flesh. That Yahweh was faithful, not just to Israel, but to him individually, his own salvation at this point. He is seeing for himself. Do y'all see that? He is happy because his personal salvation, he held it at that point. It's personal as well as for the entire nation. But that man was able to hold that baby in his arms and bless Yahweh as a result of seeing what he... This brought tears to my eyes this morning when I read it, knowing that this man was blessed to touch the baby, Yahushua. And then after that, he was happy to go. Happy to go. Happy that Yahweh would take him after that point. Luke 2:31. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, because even for them, this was beyond their wildest, because you even heard what Mary said in the beginning, I'm a handmaiden. You know what a handmaiden is? A housekeeper, a maid. So it wasn't like she was an aristocrat. It wasn't like she came from this great upbringing. So she doesn't look at herself as somebody, and Joseph didn't look at himself as two people as deserving of such honor. It was beyond their wildest dreams. You know? Like, what did they do to deserve that? 2:33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. For the fall and rising again. So he's letting them know a lot of people are going to fall because of this child, but then a lot of people, they're going to be uplifted because of this child. He's going to cause a whole lot of division in Israel. Is it not true to this day? And Simeon blessed him, back to 2:34, said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. What? So you mean, 40 days old, the Spirit led this man to say this, this man who hurt, to say, man, people going to speak against me. He ain't going to be no happy child. I'm blessing Yahweh, but don't think this is happy circumstances. Yeah, on one side, yes, I'm happy to see the salvation. But just know, there's going to be a lot of trouble coming with this child. And he's going to think not that I come to bring peace. I ain't coming here to shalom y'all. Look, shalom, 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 shalom. I'm not coming to give all of y'all that. And we see that in the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua is a book of wars. Joshua was a warrior.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? His book is about fighting inside, outside of Israel, and inside of Israel. Because he had to kill some people in Israel, too. Message? So when we come up against other Israelites that have a problem with this, it's par for the course, brothers. Par for the course. So now let's start birdieing this thing.
Hallelujah.
Start birdieing this thing. Again, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, and those who believe on him too. Remember, he said, if y'all suffer with me, he's letting us know. I wasn't brought into this world to be a whole bunch of happy circumstances surrounding me. I came into this world, and the prophecy that Simeon put on me from the Holy Spirit said, it's going to be problems and consequences. So if you're with me, you're going to have problems and consequences and situations. 235. Yay! A sword shall pass through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I remember when Gershom Bedell used to say, I'm yanking off the covers. I'm pulling it back. So that's what he's here for. He's here to bring, and what is the sword? The word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of what? So he's bringing the word, and the word is going to pull out all that darkness that be in some hearts. He's going to massage them hearts and bring out some of that pus, and he's going to reveal whose heart really beats pure. And we know it's not the literal heart, but whose mind is pure and whose mind got a whole lot of fool, and my brother say, foolishness of the mind. That's what he's here for. A little bit more, family. And there was one, Hannah. What does Hannah's name mean? Gracious. A prophetess, the daughter of Samuel. What is Peniel?
Right.
The face of El.
Right.
Of the tribe of where? Asher. What does Asher mean?
Happiness.
And she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. 237. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So that means after 7 years of being married, she spent 80 some odd years of her life being a widow.
Right.
Which departed not from the temple, but served Yahweh with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto Yahweh and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel.
Amen.
That's it, family.
Amen.
So, if anybody wants me to text them, you know, the narrative and how it flows, please let me know. I'll be more than happy to text it to you, but that's going to end my second teaching on the conspiracy against our salvation. As we can see, how a Messiah came into this world with a whole lot of stuff going on, and you know, ending off with this part with Simeon's prophecy about him. He wasn't supposed to come into the world under rosy circumstances and everybody was going to be just so happy and joyous to see him. We see that the leadership from jump wanted him dead. And thousands of little kids died. And thousands of little children suffered as a result of this situation. But we came in this world too, family, not to, as our Gershom Bendan used to tell us, what he didn't promise us what? What's it? A rose garden. He ain't promised us a rose garden.
Man.
And even if we did get a rose garden or two, guess what? You got roses, right? You had them? Ho! A lot of thorns you can roll. But anyway, fam, that's it. Any thoughts? Any comments, questions?
Because
if not,
I just read through that again. It's interesting that
the wise men, whatever they understood, that they was coming to worship the child.
Yeah.
So what was in their mind that they was coming to worship?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was one of my questions. And how is it they saw it, that they saw that. And when they brought it to Herod, it resonated something with that leadership. And I think about the circumstances that we're in this world. Like I said, we in Xmas season and we in Hanukkah season. And my brother said this is Hanukkah Eve. There are two faiths out there, and neither one of them. Hanukkah isn't for the world. Hanukkah is no different than Christmas, except you light. Not a menorah, you light a Hanukkah, because it's not a menorah. There's only one menorah. But they don't light that. So they got an extra light. For what? For what? Huh? Extra two light. Extra two light. For what? For what? That's a false light. Yahweh said don't add or take away from his word. So they added two false lights.
Didn't they come up with something like,
hold on, Aki, get you on record.
For that, what you're saying, didn't they come up with something saying like you're not supposed to basically make the temple instrument? So they made a counterfeit looking one because you're not supposed to make. But that's not in the Torah. I'm just saying I think that's what they came up with.
You took the words right out my mind. All
right. Then why make one at all?
Exactly.
If that's the way you believe, why make something that's totally different from what the Torah prescribes?
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, you know, in the recording of Roman history, there is a relief. There's a sculpture of the Romans taking that menorah. So we know the menorah. See, that's the great part about Yahweh. You know, even in that, Yahweh's preserving his truth because they were proud to take. I mean, the Roman soldiers were like, yeah, we got y'all menorah. We done raided y'all temple. So it can't be hidden. That's what it looked like, and that's what existed, because their history, they were proud to destroy Israel. But now, like you said, where y'all get this Hanukkah lamp from? And my brother said, I got me a menorah, and I'm getting my candles. I'm lighting all this light. But you ain't supposed to just light one light. Y'all hear the teacher last night? Brother Real got on him. I'm lighting all my light. But anyway, all right, Pally.
Yeah, think about it. Last night after the teaching, the menorah, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an instrument from given from God, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's in when it first was given in Exodus 25, and then Exodus 35 explained the lightning of it, light all seven.
Amen.
To tell you that. And it was done by a priest.
Amen.
And then it's a saying that we say, know whom you stand before.
Amen.
So when you light just one of those, that's like, it reminds me of the first two priests when they were going through the ordination, Aaron's son, Abihu and Abiathar. That's strange fire.
Mm-hmm.
When you Leviticus 10, when you light just one of them, that's strange fire, because why? It pulls the instructions is seven, not one a day, one tomorrow. That's strange, fuck. Mm-hmm. That's a priestly instrument. That's a priestly tool.
Amen.
That's what came to my mind.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anything else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Cold Coon family. All right. Sorry about that, brother. Good. Okay. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Fabi, would you mind closing us out?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, the name of your Son, our Savior,
our Redeemer, and our soon coming King.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words of wisdom that you have bestowed upon us this day, beginning with your servant, Al-Moreh Shaba'al, continuing with your servant, Al-Moreh Ahab'al. May you continue to open our hearts and our minds, revealing to us the truth of your word, and may you engrave that word upon our being, Heavenly Father, that we be not conformed to this world, but that we all be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We humbly and we sincerely ask you in the name of Yahushua for the forgiveness of our sins and for strength to continue obeying your voice, not going astray to the right or to the left, but being submissive to your divine will. In the name of your Son, Yahushua, our Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working.